I want to read you a story. I'm going to do the best I can not to preach. But boy, it's hard not to reading this particular story. But this is a story that you're all very familiar with. It's from the Gospel of Mark. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us displayed in so many ways. But we especially thank you for the privilege and opportunity, God, to proclaim your gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with that today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is from Mark chapter 5. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." And so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000, which rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it to the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. Very familiar story, I'm sure, of the demoniac, but boy, it's really what we're after, really what we're talking about. Here was a man that was just pathetic, a man that was completely in bondage, one that was completely opposed to God, one who lived in the tombs, who wasn't in his right mind, one who was a complete social outcast, one who had no share of the blessings of Israel, one who was left completely and utterly by himself, doomed without any hope whatsoever. But interestingly enough, that was the very one that Jesus sought out. And I wonder what it must have been like for that demon-possessed man as he ran to the beach or ran to the shore to interact with Christ. You see, those demons must have tried their utmost to keep this man away from the only one that could help him, the only one that could free him, the only one that could save him. I imagine there must have been a war going on inside. If you've ever seen someone that's demon-possessed or is oppressed somehow by demons, it almost seems like they can be two different people. But I wonder what must have been going on that day. But the power of the Lord was drawing this person and getting this person close to Jesus. And you know, the Lord does the same thing with each of us. He brings people close to our networks as well. I think the demon-possessed man, if he was graduating from your high school class, would have been voted most likely not to be a Christian. He probably would have been the one you would have thought, there's no way this guy would ever come to Christ. And yet, he got in the proximity of Jesus, near the one who had the words of life, and his life was transformed. When we talk about evangelism, so many times we imagine an evangelist on TV getting up and preaching, but really what it's about is responding to what God has done in our relational networks. As God brings people close to us that He's drawing to Himself and laying them on our hearts, that we might pray for them, that we might trust God, that we might step out and share the gospel. And that's one thing that we want to be able to do as a church, not as a program, not as a ministry even, but as really an act of faith in an everyday type of way, a lifestyle. And one of the things that last year, not this past January, but the January before, as we were walking through that series, Finding the Will of God, just felt like the Lord impressed upon me and all of us that, you know, we have talked about bringing glory to God and wanting to really see His glory and His renown made known. But truth be known, you know, when was the last time we shared the gospel with someone like this, someone who desperately needed God? And when we look at this example, it's an extreme example on purpose. Just like the Apostle Paul, I think, was chosen on purpose. I think he really was the chief of sinners, as he says, not just that he was feeling that way. Really believe that that was the case, because if God could save the Apostle Paul, if Jesus could heal the demoniac, then He could heal anyone. And it brought hope and courage to His people. But this man was stuck. This man was likely in a family at one time or another, and some believe that something happened in his life and he just kind of went bonkers and went crazy and basically lived out in the tombs, because Jesus will tell him later to go back to his family. He will tell him to go back to his home. We'll read that in just a second. But you know, that's a picture of really what's going on in all of our relational networks. Even though these people might not be social outcasts, even though they might not be demon-possessed, they don't know Christ, and they're lost, and they're incomplete in utter darkness. And the power of the gospel brings hope. The power of the gospel brings change. And that's one thing that we want to be able to do as a church. We want to be able to, on an everyday basis, to be sharing the gospel as a lifestyle. And so one of the things that we endeavored to do last year was to have a few meetings like this where we just talk a little bit, then we divide up and pray. And we just select folks that are already in our relational networks, family members that we haven't shared the gospel with, neighbors that we haven't had the opportunity or haven't responded to the opportunity to share the gospel with, co-workers, friends, teammates, and others. And that's one of the things that we're really trying to respond and trying to just be obedient to what God's doing. That we want to be able to grow as a church and to be able to respond in faith to what God's doing in the area of evangelism. So this year, like last year, we want to continue that. And we want to continue it together. Because it's a neat thing. It's a blessing to have a core of people who are evangelistically minded and are really sharing the gospel. But I think as we read through the Gospels, as we read through Scripture, you know, evangelism is really for everyone. In Acts chapter 11, it says this, as the Gospel's gone out, as people are getting saved, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, who would be Jewish folks who speak Greek and have become Hellenized in many ways with their practices and such. Also preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, after the persecution of the church, after Stephen was martyred, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. It talks about Philip, who went down to the city of Samaria. And all these crowds are paying attention to what is being said. But all the people are being scattered, and they're going forth and they're sharing the gospel. It wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just this elite group of people with the gift of evangelism. And Jesus says it this way, his last remarks as he was being taken up into heaven, to go into all the world. And that's where we get the Go Ministry name, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to everyone, baptizing them and teaching them in the name of Jesus. That we, it's important to disciple. It's important to grow. It's part of what the church is called to do. But to share the gospel. And that's something that we want to do. If we're ever to be used as a church, if we're ever to take part in church planning endeavors, if we're ever to be successful or make an impact in any areas of mercy ministry, not to be able and equipped to share the gospel on a dime in different contexts, in different ways, in different amounts of time, we're not going to be effective. And I think what God's doing is preparing us, helping us with that, and growing us in that. And so last year we went through that two ways to live, just a simple way to pictorially share the gospel in pictures in such a way that it was so neat because many of our families and our young kids could draw the pictures, which reminded them of the truths in which they depicted, just to be able to share the complete gospel in ways that just I think are wonderful. And so we'll be continuing to do that. And for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to be able to go through that, to be able to be trained in that, for those of you who already have gone through that last year, want to have a separate track, a second track, to be able to kind of nail that down a little bit better and to hone it a little bit. How many of you guys, if we put you on the spot, would be able to share the two ways to live, kind of the 6 points? Other than Paul and not me, I need practice to be able to do that right now. But boy, it's important, isn't it? It's not just something we can just do one time. It's something that we need to really continue to grow and continue to invest and just sharpen our skills. And so what we'll do in the, just like we did last year, is we'll have a few family meetings just like this, where they're just kind of a short talk, a time where we can pray, maybe watch some videos to help us to memorize Scripture along the way. But the thing that we're really trying to do is to identify who these people are. And just to have one or two or three folks that we feel compelled, that God's laying on our heart, that God would have us to share the gospel with these people. And what we do is we just start, and we talked last time, I think, in February. Then we might have met a couple months later. And we just said by that April date, we would identify who those people are. And we split up in our groups and we just kind of listed all those people. And then we began in those groups to pray for those folks, pray that God would give us opportunity. But what it helped us to do is this. It helped us to live purposeful, intentional lives. And so now, as we were interacting with the local soccer team and interacting with the different parents or different folks that were on that team, we weren't merely just playing soccer, or we weren't merely going to music lessons, or we weren't merely just being a good neighbor, but we were trying to build relationship to bless that person, not to use them or not to manipulate them, but with the purpose of sharing the gospel with those folks who are chained, those folks who are in darkness. And so now our relationships have purpose in such a way that, you know, who can we as a family reach out to? How can we come alongside so-and-so? Or what kind of things can we do? And so during the year, what we do is just try to have multiple times of interactions with them. We try to go out to eat with them. We try to invite them over. We try to go to the park with them and just build relationships so that in the fall, as we went through that training time of 5 weeks, as we went through those 5 weeks, then we took a month off after those 5 weeks. And during that month, we endeavored to share the gospel with that person. But by that time, we had already invested in the relationship. We were already growing in our friendship. And it just didn't seem awkward. And it just didn't seem weird. There was still an element where we had to trust God. There was still, fear and all those other things that we go through. But we know that, hey, these are people that we love and we care about. And not to share the gospel with someone, like this demoniac. I mean, how sad that people would go through their lives and not know Christ. And sometimes I think those people that we think are least likely to ever come to Christ are really the most likely. People that are often most boisterous and the most aggressive, at least they care. At least they're thinking, which is a good thing. And it's wonderful to engage and say, well, tell me what you believe and why. So what a wonderful opportunity that God's given us. But look what he says here in verse 18, or I'll read to you what Jesus says to this demoniac. His life's changed. He's a new man. People are scared to death of him because he's been this crazy man. They come back, and this man is sitting now at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, and he wants to follow Christ. And in verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, Jesus, the man who had been possessed with demons, begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Behold the first evangelist in the church. Demoniac. A man that no one would have thought would have ever come to Christ. And he's the first evangelist, the one that's going to this Decapolis, which means 10 cities. He's going to these different places, and he's got a testimony. You know who I was. You know who I was? You know who I used to be. But behold, I'm changed. Look what's happened. God's cleansed me. He's changed me. I'm different. And what an opportunity that we have to go and to tell the world. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. It's not complicated. But it does take some effort. It does take faith. It does take a willingness to memorize some Scripture. And that's one of the things that we've planned out to try to do each time. So we usually pass out, and we'll do it again this year. There's those keychains where we have those Scriptures on them, where we can just be memorizing those throughout the year so that when it comes time to go through the training, we don't have to be bogged down with so much information. All we have to do is, we have the Scriptures already, or most of them, we just have to learn how to draw pictures. And those six pictures remind us of the truth of the Gospel we already know. Because you already know the Gospel. Right? I mean, you know it. You've spoken it, you've said it for years, but putting it in a way that's concise, in a way that's effective, in a way that's articulate, that takes work and it takes faith. And I believe God wants to use us. He wants to change us as a church. And it's my prayer, and I'm sure yours as well, that one day that Sovereign Grace Community Church would be known as an evangelistic church. And what I mean by that is this. It's wonderful that God might be calling certain folks, Christians who are church, to come to this church. And we embrace them. And it's wonderful if the Lord's calling them here. But we really want to grow through conversion growth. We don't want to steal people from other churches. There's so much of that in the Roanoke Valley. Just people that go from church to church, stay for a couple years, and maybe get offended, or something happens, and maybe there's a new ministry opportunity, or maybe there's a more dynamic worship team, or a better preacher, or whatever be the case, and just go from place to place. But boy, and so churches experience different kinds of growth. But I think as you look in the New Testament, and there's good reason for this, because no one knew Christ as they're going out. So they have to grow by conversion growth, right? You can't just have folks. And they went, but where did they go? They went to church people, which is interesting, at least synagogue people. That's where Paul went. That was his base every time. Even when he was going to the Gentiles, he still went to that base. In other words, these were people God was already drawing. He went other places. He went there, on the hill there in Athens, and went out in the middle of the most Gentile of people. But God was drawing people to Him, and He was responding to that. We want to respond as well. And a good place for us to start is just in the relationships we already have. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to identify, Lord, would You help us as a family? Identify one, two, or three folks that we can, as a family, just share the Gospel with. And just trust You in that. Just be faithful in that. That's what we want to do. You know, it's not our job to convert somebody. It's not our job to win them to Christ. But it's our privilege just to be faithful and to walk through that. So that's all I have on that subject, that topic. Any questions or thoughts or anything you want to share? Yes, Carol. Let me give you this real quick.
When I was 16 years old, my sister fought this, but she never told me until a couple of years later. She goes, "Oh, my sister Carol will be the last one on earth to ever come to know the Lord." Well, it was a month later that she invited me to church and I gave my life to the Lord. Well, she told me that a couple of years later, and I said, "Thanks for sharing that," because it really made an impact on me that when I'm thinking about somebody, thinking, "Oh, they're going to be the last ones. They're going to be the hard ones. That's going to be the easy one." We have no idea what's going on in the heart and how the Lord's moving in a heart by what they look like or how they are real hard or on the outside. So just to encourage you in that way.
Anybody else? Spencer's got his mic. Anybody else? Got your mic on. I like it. Anybody else? Well, let's pray for that. And so next meeting, if you can have a good idea, maybe we'll not have to nail them down, but the quicker we can do that, the longer we can pray for those people. And that's the power that we trust in, not our articulation of the gospel. It's in crying out to God, "God, save these people." And man, it's so neat to see what happens when you've been praying for these folks for months. And then it comes that time to shout, go into the city like we talked about today. It's so marvelous to see the providence of God and all the things that He's orchestrated. But He's been reacting and responding to the prayers of His people. And so we want to be a praying people. This is an opportunity for us to pray for the lost and believe that God's going to answer. So, did I answer your question, Spencer? If you can be thinking about those folks and who they'd be, why don't we do that by the next time? Why don't you go ahead and say, "Yeah, right now," maybe you can add someone later if you'd like to as well. But yeah, this is at least one person or one family that I really believe that the Lord has been laying on my heart, and maybe our heart as a couple or our heart as a family, to really share the gospel with. And we want to believe that God's going to help us, give us opportunity in the fall to be able to do that. So I'm not sure on the calendar. I don't know if the next meeting is maybe in April. I think we have like three or four before September. And again, it's just really time to have a short talk and then really to pray and identify those folks. But that's the wonderful thing about just doing it together, that Lord, help us to be, it's exciting to do that corporately and to see what God's doing and He grows us in a corporate way. Well, you ready for the numbers? What do you think? What's that? 100,000? There's faith. Man, I tell you, boy, just thinking of where we are as a church, just thinking how marvelous God is. I remember we were praying during... I think it was Friday night. We were having we had the prayer vigil for those couple days, and Friday night we had a prayer meeting. There's a number of us that were in the room, and someone just prayed, "Lord, we pray, don't just stop it. You know, 70,000, this huge number. But I pray, Lord, that You would give us half." And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, wow, what a huge prayer. But it was so neat because it demonstrates who God is. And it demonstrates what God can do when His people come together and are unified and have one purpose and one goal. Just like we're reading about these people that are going out to Cyprus and Antioch. And to think that those people that, think about this, those people that went out to Antioch and they shared the gospel there in Antioch, that church became the church. Remember that Barnabas, when they saw that something was happening, the church said, "Hey, Barney, go and check it out because you're a dependable guy and we trust you." And Barney went there, and as he was there, he said, "Hey, I know a guy that's really on fire for the Lord," and he was the last person that people ever would have thought. No one else knows this guy very well. No one else trusts this guy, probably either. And Barney goes over to the left and he says, "Hey, Paul, come over from Tarsus and come over to Antioch." And there they go from Antioch. But there from that church is launched the greatest missionary endeavors that the world has ever known. And the Apostle Paul goes out on those three church planning missionary journeys. And the world is turned, you know, upside down. But it all started with faithful people sharing the gospel there in Antioch. And then God used that in a marvelous way. Who would have ever expected that? Who would have ever thought the great things that God can do and is doing? Well, let me read you. I'll keep in suspense a little bit longer because it's kind of fun. Jason's got a slide, I know, but don't show him yet, Jace. Let me tell you the monthly. Let me just tell you this. Jace, don't show that slide if you could. Monthly, remember we said that not only did we need that one-time offering, and we tried to set things up in such a way that we honor God. And we tried to set things up in such a way that, Lord, we want to be responsible. And we want to walk through this with integrity. And Lord, if this isn't you, then save it. We don't want it. We don't want that land. We don't want that place. We're not going to compromise on our principles because we think that honors you. And one of the things that we said that we needed to do is to be able to have about $3,000 more monthly than we had in the past. And we have... I remember Sharon talking with a pastor and just talking about those surveys that we talked about, and that the the average person in our church was giving 11% to God's kingdom, wherever that was, whatever that looked like. And I shared that, and they were over the phone, but their jaw dropped. And it was such a testimony to God. It brought great glory to God. Not, "Oh, look at Sovereign Grace people." Or, no, to think that God would move on a heart, that people would go beyond the right, that they would be willing to go over and above even what in many Christian circles is required. We've already talked about that, don't think it is binding, but that's my personal conviction. But to think that, boy, to think that for us to be able to make this, that we're going to have to increase our giving in such a way that we have to increase it by $3,000 a month. To be able to make payments, to even be able to do this just barely over the minimum. Well, 3,000 was a monthly number. We actually received pledges for $4,224. So can you imagine that? I mean, that's a huge... Our budget a month, yes. Our monthly budget's about $25,000. And so, man, that's what... You guys have to do math. 20% almost, right? One-sixth, Chris. A one-sixth increase. Now, what's like one-sixth of 100? 18%, thank you. An 18% increase. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, who could do that but God alone? But you're ready for this number. Oh. Remember, we said we had, you know, $50,000 that we had to be able to give, and we needed $70,000 to be able to have $120,000 to be able to put down 25%, which we felt like that's a good number. That's a number that we think would honor the Lord and help us to pay things off in a timely instance. And we've been talking to different folks, different loan options. Some folks require that, some folks require 15% down, but anyway, by God's grace, we're going to be able to do a lot more than that. So, Jason, if you can put up the number and be prepared to be astounded. happen? Oh my goodness. Well, we can put down half. And not only doing that, be paying on a monthly basis and be paying principal from the very first month. I think that honors the Lord. Thank you for your faith. Don't we serve a great God? No, we have no idea what's going to happen. I know the Mrs. Patton's received other offers as well, and she's waiting for us. And so we told her that we'd let her know Monday morning. And so it seems like God's moving in this way. Just a little bit seems like He's moving in that direction. And so we'll make an offer tomorrow. And so if you could be praying that if this is where the Lord would want us, that He'd make a way, that He'd grant us favor, and that we would be able to move forward in that. But I thought what would be most appropriate for us is just to spend the rest of our time not talking about Go Ministry, but just singing His praises, just telling Him how great He is, and praying for those lost people that we're talking about, and praying for what God's going to do here in the future. So, Spence, if you could have anyone who's available on the worship team, if you guys could come forward, let's just sing, let's praise the Lord, and just enjoy His goodness. This is incredible. Is it not?
This afternoon, we want to celebrate not our victory, but Christ's victory, the glorious one. Every heart, His cross is redeemed. We want to celebrate not just what He's done today, but for every heart that He's going to redeem in the future.
If you would come and just pray, and then we'll close with... Do we have any other songs, Spence, or we spit?
No, we can do something else.
Okay. Let's do. I love that. I love that. We'll do one more, okay? Are you guys good for that? Is that okay? All right. Open mic. No karaoke, but open mic. Come forward and pray.
Lord, I was just thinking about that movie, and at the end of the movie, just how Coach comes home and just talking about how overwhelmed he is with your goodness. And then he says, and he throws in, talking of you, God, throws in the state championship just because he can. Lord, today we're overwhelmed with your goodness, your amazing faithfulness once again. Lord, we ask that you would help us to respond, Lord, in these days ahead, in these weeks and months ahead. Lord, give us faithful hearts just to be obedient to whatever it is and wherever it is you call us, Lord.
Dear Father, oh God, I want to thank you for your blessings this afternoon. God, you have blessed us in so many ways. God, I pray that you would use this church in the Roanoke Valley, God, that you would allow us to impact hundreds, thousands of people, God, but it has to be by your power. God, you've enabled us to do many things, that we would use the power that you have given us for your glory.
Lord, I thank you for what you've done today, Lord, how you have been so faithful to us. Lord, I thank you for showing yourself great today, Lord, in our eyes. And God, I pray that you wouldn't just remain great in our eyes here, not just great in this church, Lord, but in the whole Roanoke Valley. Lord, your name would be great. God, I pray the whole Southwest Virginia, Lord, this whole area, God, through this, would you be glorified? We thank you for what you're going to do.
Lord, we thank you for just blessing this church, and we thank you, Lord, because your word says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, O God. And even as we enter into this great adventure, Lord, I pray that you would give us faith, O God, that you would stretch us, O Lord, that we would see, that your word would come alive. You would say, test and see that the Lord is good. And Lord, we thank you so much because you are taking us, getting ready, making us ready for a great adventure, O God. May you stretch us, Lord. Stretch us, O God, to see and explore, Lord, the things that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I just want to pray and confess of unbelief. As we shared with the Han family during the evangelism weeks, and how that turned really ugly and didn't go very well. And my response to that was, see, that's, I knew that was going to happen. And even now, I'm in unbelief. Just pray that you would help me to pray for them in faith, that you can save them as you have saved all of us. Help me to continue to pray for them and pursue them.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I also confess unbelief. As we go to see the owner of this land tomorrow, Lord, I'm feeling fear, and I just feel, Lord, that she's going to take a better offer. So, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would move on her heart, and your sovereign will would be done through her response to this offer, Lord God. I just pray that you would just bless her regardless of the outcome.
Yes.
Dear Lord, I just pray for boldness and for faith for souls, Lord God. So many times, it's like Carol Jean said, I look at people or my family and it seems so big, Lord, and their lives seem so far from you. But Lord, help us to have faith that you can do it, Lord God. You're a mighty God, and help us to believe that and see that for the future.
I pray, Heavenly Father, for all those whose souls are held captive to be set free, that you would prepare their hearts even now. And specifically for my husband, his name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life this year, Lord. That this would be the year. Nathan, thank you. Thank you.
Father in heaven, I pray that you would be using these next few years to change us from a church that is timid about sharing the gospel to a church that is bold and courageous as a lion to share the gospel.
Yes.
And Father, I pray that before this property is paid off, and Lord, I'm believing that you're going to give us this property tomorrow. But I pray that before any property that we have is paid off, there are 50 people sitting in this place that today are not believers, mostly not in a church any place, but they are saved.
Yes.
By that time, God, would you do that? Make 50 seem like a small number to us as we see brand new adult and adolescent believers. Come along.
Father, I also want to pray for my friend Ray, Lord, that you would save him, that you would pierce his heart with your word. God, I pray that you would do a work, and you would give me faith to continue to share wisdom, Lord, giving your gospel. God, I pray for our church that these prayers would be answered for your glory, Father, that you would help us to be concerned with the lost, Father, and you would allow us, Lord, I pray even for those people in our church who have a desire to see your gospel go to the nations, Lord. God, would you use this church, Father, in your kingdom in ways that we can't even imagine now, to take the gospel to people who have not yet heard your name. Father, would you enable us in this little church to be a part of what you're doing for your glory.
Father, I thank you for your amazing faithfulness to us, God, that your power and glory has been raining upon us, Father. We are so amazed at what you are doing, Lord. I pray for the salvation of many throughout this whole region, Father. I pray specifically that you would save Alona, that you would bring the salvation of the Barisa family, that you would heal them, Father, that you would work in amazing ways in their lives, Father. And I pray that you would bless us with a very colorful church, God. Thank you.
faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Father God, we pray for salvation. First, for our children that don't know you, God. We pray for those family members who don't know you and are lost and are sitting in darkness, God. We pray that you will have mercy upon them.
Yes.
God, we pray as a church that your gospel will go forth, that you will put people on our hearts as we think and pray, God, that you will bring people onto our hearts, that you will lay them on our hearts, God, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation for those who believe. Pray, God, that you will just extend your family here by bringing new people in. This has been prayed before, God. Show us those people, God, that you have elected unto salvation. We pray for them now, even though we don't know who they are. We just trust you in faith, God, that it is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Father, I just pray that your name, God, would be held in high esteem by all of us, Lord, that our vision of you would be greatly enlarged, Father God, beyond what any of us experienced to this day. God, I pray that you would also bring healing and salvation, Lord, to George and to Sarah and to Rebecca. Lord, those I have prayed for so long, and I'm sure others have as well, God. And I just pray that you would be honored in their lives, Lord, as they rejoice before your throne among your people.
Lord, we are just amazed at what you've done today. And I pray that we wouldn't lose that amazement, that we would realize that you are the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the same Lord that parted the Red Sea and has worked a miracle today. You are the same God in our lives. And I pray that when struggles or fears arise, that we would not be overwhelmed by them, but that we would look to you and know that whatever the outcome it is, God, that you are working for our good. You are going above and beyond our desires and our expectations. Please help us just to position ourselves under you, Lord, and trust you completely.
Lord, thank you for what you've done today, Father, and thank you for for the people who are willing to do this, Father, and Lord, just help us to praise you, Father. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us get the money and even more than we needed, and please help Mrs. Patton to sell the land to us. In your name I pray, amen.
Dear Father, I pray that you would help us to build this church, and I thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us, Jesus, and that you would just give us the strength to be able to do this.
Lord, you are awesome. Thank you so much, Father. It was a miracle that we got in this building, and I saw a miracle happen today. I know you're going to use this in the lives of everyone here and in the lives of my children, whoever they are. Thank you, Lord.
God, I pray that we'll have hearts of giving, and that even though we gave a lot today, that we'll be able to give even more in the future.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for these people who have given money cheerfully. I pray that you would help us to honor you and obey you in everything we do.
God, how great you are. Thank you for the faith that you've given us today. I pray for my friend Lydia, Lord, that you would save her, that you would give me opportunity to share the gospel with her. And God, I'm going to pray that you would save every person in my nursing class, because you were big enough to do that.
Yes.
Father God, I also thank you for your faithfulness and just your demonstration of your steadfast love this morning, this afternoon. I pray that you will empower us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to go about just sharing the gospel with others, Lord, that it will not be something that we do out of duty, Lord, but something that we do out of delight. Fill us with joy in you alone, Lord, so that it can't
we can do nothing but share the gospel with others. Lord, empower us, I pray.
Seeing God do this today has really encouraged my faith. We personally have incurred a large debt in moving to Roanoke, and I didn't have much faith for seeing God provide for it, but seeing Him do this today, I know that He can, and it's beyond my understanding. But I've got a scripture that I want to share. First, I'll start off with, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, and for those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Lord, we just thank you for your provision for these people and their hearts to give and to have a vision for this land and for this church and for the future of building a building and evangelizing those around us, having a heart for others and reaching beyond themselves. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done today and for strengthening the faith of these here. In Jesus' name.
This comes out of Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Thank you, Lord God. I just pray for the people, Father, that are not saved that need to know you, Lord. I pray for those that are lost that need to know you, Father, that you would give them a plan and a future and a hope in you, Father. That you would show them your light, Father, and your cross and your sacrifice, that you've loved us so much, God. And we just thank you for your salvation, Father, that you've given it to us. And we pray for those that need to know you, Father. They need to know your salvation. That only hope comes from you. That we can only find our way in you, Lord. And that you take care of us, and you give us a hope, Father, and a hope for this church, and to bringing those that don't know you, Father, to know your truth and your life.
Lord, I just pray, just in light of all these things that you've done for us, Lord, as a church, I pray that you would build within us, Lord, just a deep compassion for those that do not know you. Lord, you've saved us. Just out of the glories of your grace, you've saved us from the wrath that we rightly deserve. And I pray that it would just be the desire of our hearts to share that with all those who come in contact with, Lord, and that we wouldn't harness it within ourselves.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Father, I pray that you would be our strength, Lord, that you would be our portion forever, Lord. And Lord, whatever we do, Father, we would glorify you. As people see this church, Father, see Sovereign Grace, Father, that they don't see people, but they see you, Father, that everything we do, we would be pointed to you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for what you did on the cross for us, Father. We love you, Jesus.
Lord, I thank you for this money. Money is just a tool, Lord, and you allow us to use it for either good or evil. Lord, there are people that use money for evil here in Roanoke to buy drugs, to buy sex, to buy things which will only reap destruction. Lord, we have given this money. Thank you for the hearts of the redeemed gathered here today that have given this money so that we might have a place to worship and honor and glorify you, to gather together and to sing praises to you. Lord, I pray that you would take those in this valley who are using money for purposes of wickedness and evil, and that you would bring them into our fold, that they would gather together with us to worship and honor you.
Yes. Lord, I thank you for the blessing that this church has been in my life and in our family's life. And today, what a great privilege it has been to be a part of this and to see you work among this group. And Lord, I pray, as many have, for the salvation of many souls in this valley. I pray for the salvation of my children. And Lord, I thank you again for your mercies. And may we remember this day in our lives for many years to come.
Yes. Father, you tell us not to despise a day of small beginnings. And this is a day, Lord, that is not small. So, Lord, we thank you. You truly are able to make all grace abound to us so that we can have all sufficiency in all things for every good work. I pray, Lord, that one of the good works that we will look back on in 5 years from now is that you have raised up new leaders from within our midst. And you have sent them out to establish new churches. Father, I pray that we would be able to look and see 2, 3, 4, even 5 churches where the gospel is preached, where the lost are won, where families are equipped, where lives are transformed. We would look back to this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness in going exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Thank you.
Lord, we marvel at your goodness, your sovereignty, providence. Lord, and I just lift up to you today, Lord, the families who are anticipating moving to this area, Lord, and I just pray that you would give them eyes of faith, Lord, that they would see you as able to provide for all of their needs. I pray, God, for their finances, Lord, that you would bless the financial provisions for them to move, and housing, Lord, that they would experience your grace and your joy, and that you would be pleased as they glorify you as they walk in faith. Thank you, Lord, for working in our midst and being so good to us.
Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for those prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, not only for the salvation of those that are lost, God, but God, I pray that, Lord, there are many believers who are walking in captivity and in bondage, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, you would use this church and use us in this church, Lord, to help set the captives free, Father. Lord, that we can have joy instead of mourning, Lord. God, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord.
Revelation 15:3 says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty.
Father, I pray that from this day forward, we would always be able to say, look what the Lord has done. If He can do this, He can do anything. All things are possible with the Lord. Please give us greater faith, Lord, for every day, for the future, for everything. Please just grow our faith. Help us to stand back and just be in awe and to not walk in our own strength, believing that we have accomplished these things or our generous hearts, Lord, but that it is because of the work of Christ that You have done in us. Please help us to have faith, God. Just widen our view of what You can do and help us to see who You really are, Lord. Like You revealed Yourself to the Israelites, Lord, continually reveal Yourself to us. Open our eyes that we can see clearly, Lord, the way You surround us, the way You carry us like a child. Please, Lord, just give us greater faith, bigger faith, that we would try new things because we know that You are walking beside us and leading us and guiding us, Lord. Please help us not to shrink back, but to be the ones who are believing constantly in Your power, that You are the one true God, and there is no God like You. Praise You, Lord, for what You have done today and every day in all of our lives, Lord. Thank You.
Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. Lord God, You have abundantly blessed Your church here tonight, today. And I thank You, Lord. We sought after 70,000. You gave us almost three times that. And You are so good. You are so great, Lord. And we can do nothing but humbly submit to You, Lord. We do pray that You would build this house, that You would build this church, that You would grow this church with the unsaved so that they would be saved, Lord. We pray that Your will be done in our lives and in the lives of all those who have yet to come to know You through this ministry, Lord. Amen.
And Lord, You have so blessed this church with so many children, young children, large families. Oh, Father, would You help us as parents? Would You help us to train our children? Lord, would You raise up a generation that would be holy, that would be set apart? Father, we desperately, desperately need You. So help us in this church, Lord, as this next generation is being brought up. Lord, may they be brought up in Your word, Your truth, and may they make a difference in this world for You, Lord, for Your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for four things. One, Lord, I would ask that those who You have not called and not gifted with the gift of celibacy, Lord, I pray that You would bring their spouses. I pray for singles who have been waiting for decades for a spouse. I pray that You would bring them their spouses this year. Lord, that they might be in families. They might be excelling in what You've called them to do. Lord, I pray that You would miraculously provide for them. Lord, two, I pray for those who You have a call in their life. I pray that You would encourage them. I pray, Lord, that You would promote in their heart a steadfastness that's not discouraged. Lord, I pray that they would be able to focus on that which You're calling them to focus upon. And Lord, I pray that You would bring others here as well, that You would raise up dozens and dozens and dozens of folks that we can send out or we can add to this place in order that we might be able to serve Your kingdom more effectively. Lord, third, I pray for a church plant in Blacksburg in the next 3 years. I pray that You would raise up people that we can send out, that we can plant, and that we can get started, Lord, in what You're calling us to do. Fourthly, Lord, I pray pray for a people in a nation that don't know you, and where they have never heard the gospel. I pray for relationships that you would provide in our networks, that we would be able to sister and partner with them, that they might hear the gospel, that they might have churches planted, and that we might go back and forth and they back and forth, Lord, and we might strengthen one another. And Lord, I pray fifthly that you would grant us, as has been prayed so many times before, great faith. Lord, I pray that this place would be a place where there is no discrimination. And what I mean by that, Lord, the lowliest of the low in the world's eyes sits next to the richest, to the most desperate in need. Lord, I pray that you would give us the power to affect people who aren't like us, and that you would give us grace and strength to change in order that we might be able to share the gospel with them. Lord, that this might be a place, that this might be a church, no matter where we're located, Lord, that looks like what's pictured in the book of Ephesians. Peppered and salted with all kinds of different ethnicities, all kinds of different socioeconomic classes. Lord, I pray for ministries that we don't know about, that you would send leaders, that you would send folks, that you would raise up. And Lord, that we would be a lighthouse on a hill. And Lord, I pray not for fruitfulness for the next 5 years or 10, but I pray until you come back, that this would be a place from what you have started here that would continue on, that it wouldn't die out, but instead, Lord, would continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and affect the world, Lord, for your kingdom, for your gospel. Thank you for that, Jesus. Sixthly, I pray, and I do this because I'm a preacher, Lord. Sixthly, I pray for holiness. I pray that you would protect us. I pray that there be no infidelity in any marriages. Lord, I pray that where folks are stuck in sin, they would sin no more. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us a purity and a holiness in this church. And Lord, that it would be compelling to the world. Oh God, protect us. Protect us from trying to live for our own kingdoms and trying to desire our own ministries. Lord, help us. Keep us humble. Whatever it takes, I pray that you would allow us to be humbled and allow us to be more concerned, as John the Baptist was, for your increase. And Lord, we might delight in decreasing. We might delight in being small in order that we might make much of you. Thank you for that, Jesus.
Let's stand together and conclude this time with the song that we did.